When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are here talking about community again.
We're back.
I tried to get him to start the show. I just want you to know that, but he refused. So you thought, we've been doing this for 76 episodes. Why change it up?
Why change it up now? Throw everybody off.
He could have. He totally could have. It's not that hard. You
know, I can say welcome. Welcome, everybody.
But we just aren't going to change it up. But we change up our seats randomly. Maybe someday he will start the show.
I don't remember why we changed sides.
Because of our buttons. Because the women's buttons face this way. We were having to do fashion tape.
That's right. That's exactly right. So today I wore a t-shirt
there would be no buttons.
So, okay, well,
we don't have any fashion problems.
I forgot. That's why we did that.
Yeah. And then we were really, really fancy for the first year. And
we did. I don't even know what that was about, but we were
trying to be sophisticated.
Or something. I don't know what it was. But
it was during quarantine, so we never left the house.
We never got to dress up. That's exactly what happened.
We were just living in our pajamas, and we thought we need to be fancy. I was wearing Gucci shoes that you never saw.
Yep. I wanted to wear my vest. I was like, when am I going to get to wear my vest again? I like it with a pocket watch and
this stuff.
This is
why we went fancy.
That's it. Okay.
And the world went slightly back to normal, and we said, okay, t-shirts and jeans.
Comfortable.
How about that?
I have my Birkenstocks on. If we're going to keep doing this, let's be comfortable.
I don't even know if you can see them, but it's all right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about isolation and community. Just to segue. That's how this is going. That's why we were so fancy, is because we're living in isolation during COVID, and now we're not.
True.
So...
I mean, we're talking about community.
Yes.
And kind of the antithesis of community is isolation. And we have experienced some of the most unique times in the last few years of
what
weirdness.
That?
Yeah, weirdness that has left people, I think, a little bit in shock.
Yeah.
And then maybe introduced to a freedom and a sense of priority that they didn't have prior to that, because they were just so trained in a system of being overwhelmed all the time with all the demands. And then as soon as all that, you know, when you lock people in their house for a year, you know, you're like, wow, that we had a whole bunch of really unnecessary stuff going on.
Yeah, true.
You know? And Uber Eats works, you know, and whatever.
It didn't used to come out to our house, guys. Uber Eats and DoorDash did not come out to where we live because we're so far away from...
They do now, though.
They do.
They do now.
They do.
They wanted to stay alive. I'm sure we'll get a notice before long. Not doing it anymore. But I think, you know, the lifestyle change was so drastic that people were confronted with the choices that they'd been making.
Sure.
Where they'd chosen to spend their time. And now people are, you know, they're just aware. They're aware that, okay... I don't know that we're going to do that anymore. I don't know that we're going to do it like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, you know, I will never travel the way I did before. Never again. I'm done.
That was already adjusting, but it hit a hard stop.
Hard stop. Like, okay, I love being at home with my family and at home with my team. Never again. Never again am I going to do that. So
It is. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that kids have noticed is how much you're home mm-hmm. compared to what you were gone. We'd sit down for dinner and they're like, where's Papa now?
Yeah.
Just kind of out of curiosity.
Which continent
where,
is Papa
we don't really know where you are, but you're gone, and that's normal.
What chocolate will he be
Papa's
bringing?
Not here. Yeah. It's more, it's changed. It's a shock when you aren't around because you still travel more out of everybody, but it's not like it used to be at mm-hmm. all. So the questions have changed dramatically.
Yeah. So I think, you know, people are faced with responsibility for where they put their time and use their choices, but there's also kind of a brokenness about a lack of community. Mm-hmm. People have become isolated in, I'm going to protect something that's right. It's right to protect your family, your time, your energy, your health, your money, whatever. It is right to do that. And you got to have a target for your life. You know, there's got to be, your life's energy is pointed at something. And what's happened in all this chaos is people are pointing it at themselves.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, I am the center of the universe. Mm. And my comfort and my will be done has turned into pretty unhealthy dynamics, I'd say.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting to watch, how COVID kind of adjusted the focus of self. I think selfish people have always been there, obviously, but it's been interesting to watch even in the church, because a lot of churches, adjusted to the season, making online church, went from multiple services to one service and then online service. You know, we have accommodated to this self-protection swirl we were in. And in that, it feels like there's just, it just has changed the goal of our community. And, mm-hmm. You have small groups before church happened. Well, that doesn't really exist very much anymore. Or we were having online community, I'm curious to see, if it's really the same level of depth and fulfillment as it would be if you're in the room with somebody. Because I know that we're creating online community and it's amazing and there's more out there than ever before, but it's still very different than being in a room with somebody. Mm-hmm. Being able to touch them, being able to, see their full body reaction versus, frozen screen. Oh, are they happy? Are they, what's happening? They're mid-drink, they haven't changed. They're frozen.
The thing I've learned about online stuff that I'm a little surprised at is the efficiency.
Sure.
I'm going to have a 1 hour whatever, meeting, conversation, and if you're in a room with somebody, you got to drive there. Yep. That took that all the time. Then you're there, and then it doesn't really end because there's a conversation. Have the conversation, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. and then you get out to your car, and there's another conversation, and then you got to drive. Like that was 4 hours. Oh my gosh, I'm just getting all this time back, and mm-hmm. so much more efficient in my connection, my communication back and forth. So. Part of me is really liking the...
I think it has its pros and its cons, just like everything.
And we still have barbecues and family.
Yeah.
To get, people get together. But even that feels more selective. Mm-hmm. Like, the people that I hang out with, I really like them. So that's... I'm not stuck here. I don't feel...
obligated.
Or stuck. I just don't feel stuck in a meeting, and I don't feel stuck in a gathering. Mm-hmm. I really feel so much more efficient. Mm-hmm. But you got to have it. You got to have community. You got to have people around that you're pointing your life and love and generosity and different things. You got to have it.
Yeah. And in this last season, that when it removes so much of, I would say, the church's natural goal and heart to create community and opportunities for community groups in different ways, when that got shut down, it's like we didn't know what to do to replace it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so because of how long that season's been, I think it's become a habit to just stay isolated. I'd rather not than make the effort to mm-hmm. reconnect or jump on that Zoom call with my small group that I did create during COVID. I don't know if I need to. I don't want to check in. I don't feel like it. So the practice of that self comfort, you know, we became the loud, a lot of people, especially if you didn't already have a really connected community that was willing to, you know, navigate the waters with you of whatever you chose to do. You know, if you didn't have that and you were alone, this just got bigger and louder, and it's probably harder to come out of it, but it is so necessary for us to come out of this isolation season.
Yeah, and I think I'll talk to Americans right now, but, you know, we have always been pretty independent people and strive for that, you know. Freeways are full of one person in a vehicle. You're like, okay, I want control of my time. I want control of my space. I want control, you know, all this stuff. But this has kind of went hyper individualism. Sure. You know, like all of a sudden I get to do what I want, and I will define reality. Mm. And if I don't measure it against anybody else, then it's true.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so when you take community off of somebody and they do get isolated, there's this super danger that they think they're right. Hmm. Like young people who aren't, or anybody who isn't married, thinks that they would be an amazing spouse. You know, like, I am, wow, what a gift I am.
Ask any of your married friends if they think that's true.
Yeah, well, I am such a gift. I cannot wait till somebody gets all this. And then you get married and you're like, oh my gosh, how come?
You don't appreciate me.
Whoa. And it's because of feedback. It's mm-hmm. because of a reality check. It's a clash of opinions, a clash of ideas, a clash of perspectives, and you don't have that in isolation. So you are deceived, I almost said muy grande. You are, you know, you are really deceived because you're in a loop, and you get social media going mm-hmm. and you say, hey, everybody who agrees with me, here's what I think. And everybody says, you're totally right. Like, that's just
not... anyone that doesn't agree with you, unfollow, block,
yeah.
remove.
Yeah, they're fake news. Mm-hmm. So, you really begin to break down as a human personality because you create reality. And you don't create reality. That's why you need to get around other people so you know where you need to adjust mm-hmm. and grow.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's part of the danger of hyper individualism is you start to actually believe the lie that you're right. Mm. And, you know, you're right sometimes.
So, yeah. It's amazing the illusion that we can create when we're isolated, that we are the smartest. Mm-hmm. We are the most powerful. We're correct. Everyone else is incorrect. And then it feels like nobody is qualified to ever speak into our life, mm-hmm. which for me, thinking about, you know, my children growing up, you know, going out into the world, if that is their belief and they go and end up in a relationship with somebody, I just think that this person's going to be held captive. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an extreme dysfunctional relationship of someone that is a prisoner to this crazy person. Mm-hmm. So how do you, in this last seasons that we've been in, and it's been such a practice to almost protect yourself from others, how do we emerged back into having high value for community and feedback and in a healthy way, less of ourself and more of this serving and loving and getting back to the God's design of community.
I think this is the die daily thing, you know. I mean, community is designed to iron sharpen iron kind of a deal, where we are, our lives are coming in contact with other lives, and something's got to give. You know, when you sharpen a knife, you're literally removing the material of the knife that is dulling it. You know, you're turning it over, you're removing material, you're turning it over, removing material until you get this edge of sharp usefulness. And I think that's what happens to us when we, you know, when we willingly adjust around other people that we want to be like, or we need an impartation of who they are into our character, into our belief system. You know, I think one of the wars that we've got to win is this idea of covenant. Like, we've got to win the covenant war. We've got to become a people again who their yes is yes and their no is no. And when I devote myself and my life to you, it is a lifelong commitment. I don't do it flippantly, you know. I am, marriage becomes a lifelong commitment, and we quit giving ourselves excuses to get out. And we, you know, our devotion to our children is lifelong, and it's not just because, you know, as long as our politics align or whatever. You know, my commitment to a covenant, you know, to a community, covenant community of believers is, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, my life is at, and my life strength is added to you and your success of what we're doing here. That's all broke down because probably we have more options than we've ever had in the history of mankind, I think. At least aware of it on a global level.
Yeah.
And the test of our character is freedom. Mm. So I know that people thrive in places where people tell them what to do. Yeah, people. True. People seem to just like, oh, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I have to do. Tell me what I'll get in trouble for doing. Tell me what that trouble is. Let me weigh whether I'm willing to pay that trouble. And like, okay, you know, that is one way to live, and that's the law. You know, give me the law, and then I will try to function by manipulating the laws. And that's one way to live. And then there's this other way, which I think is the kingdom. And that is, you got one, you, there's one rule again, and it's love. Love each other. Will you use all your freedom and your resources and your power and your gifts and your anointings? Will you use them to benefit each other? Or do you need a bunch of laws to keep each other from violating each other? You know, and obviously we're going to get both, but the heavy side of our life in community is a choice.
No.
Nobody's going to make you do it. There's no rule that says you have to go do X, Y, and Z. You have to go to church. You have to go to this church. Mm-hmm. You have to marry. You have to stay married. All those are gone. And now what we're left with is our character. And I think, you know, this is what happens when somebody wins the lottery.
Sure.
Is, you know, you go from making $40,000 a year to you have $40 million in the bank, and you blow yourself up because you don't know what to do with all those options and all that freedom.
All that freedom.
And so you, pretty soon, you end up in prison.
Yeah.
Why? Well, $40,000 a year was a prison. And I just moved from prison to prison
yeah.
because I didn't know how to handle freedom. Mm-hmm. So we are in the midst of a pretty massive test of our character being offered so much freedom. You can be as selfish as you want to be right now, or you can die daily and pour your life and sacrifice into the benefit of the people around you, but it's only going to come because you decided that. You guided yourself into it.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about freedom. There's just freedom practice. And I think about children. Our children have lots of freedom practice, and that's what we're teaching them. And it is amazing the levels of freedom that have been stewarded in this last season, and then what we've filled our time with, and then what we have chosen not to replace our time with as things have changed, you know, some good and some bad. And this isolation that we've given permission to, it's a form of comfort. Really, it's what I see it as, is it's mm-hmm. just this comfort. I like how I feel. I feel safe. I feel content. I feel good. I feel comfortable. And, you know, I don't know of too many great things that happened in life living comfortable. I think that there's enjoyment you get, but there's a season of how to work hard to get to this place. You know, you want to reap a harvest from your garden. You don't live comfortably and just hope for the best up there. You've got to do some work, you know. And in that work, there's fruit, and I think there's seasons that there's blessing. Like I'd say right now we haven't been tilling the garden, but there's blessing from the last season that we put a lot of work and effort. We have what we call the volunteer tomatoes. But it still came from a season of work. Mm-hmm. And then I think God's goodness that he gives blessing. But, you know, if we actually want something to be produced in our garden that we get to harvest, there's still work that's required. And then there's enjoyment. But I don't know that I would say is comfort. Comfort feels like almost that position of being a sloth, being lazy. I think that's more of what I see in this freedom, is we've turned it into a state of comfort rather than pressing in. And, you know, iron sharpened iron means I have to handle some feedback. I have to go and give and serve where I don't want to, or where it's uncomfortable or it's inconvenient, but I do get a benefit of covenant relationships.
Yeah, I think when the Bible's talking about, you know, you sow and then you reap and you have a reward, mm-hmm. but a chunk of that reward is next year's sowing.
Yeah.
And so if you eat all of that,
sure.
That momentum, there's a momentum that comes from reaping and sowing, and a reward and reaping and sowing. There's mm-hmm. there is definitely a comfort in there. You work your head off,
yeah.
and then you end up with this harvest, but you still have to reinvest mm-hmm. and keep the thing going, which you know that reinvesting your harvest is a bunch of work. You're like, you just committed to another yeah. cycle of a bunch of work.
Yeah.
But you're growing momentum. And if you mismanage that momentum, which is really the blessing, mm-hmm. then you invite a curse on yourself mm-hmm. because now you have to start over. You lost your momentum. You look forward to an entire cycle of struggle because you didn't protect your momentum. So it's almost like you're starting over. And when we give up on community, we give up on covenant, we lose track of what got us here. Mm-hmm. We become ungrateful,
sure.
Critical, judgmental, cynical. Then we essentially end up starting over, and I think that's such a tragedy. And we see it in families, we mm-hmm. see it in churches all over the place right now are starting over.
Yeah.
They just are so fragmented, and they have so many people just hopping around, just not wanting to commit because of what they've discovered is a priority that they don't want to give away. And I think probably church leaders are trying to figure out, okay, how do we accommodate your priorities and still invite you back into participating?
Yeah.
And there's a conversation that's happening right now, because anybody that tries to keep doing church the way they always did it and not listen to the new priorities that I discovered once you gave me a year off, like, those churches are, they're going to flounder for a while. Mm-hmm. But as long as the adjustments are being made on both sides, I think we'll come back stronger and better.
Yeah. I think that's the goal, you know, of our topics here with community, is that we're poking and agitating you in the best way, because we trust that you have chosen us as part of your community, that, you know, we're trying to challenge you to look at, do you know what, that you believe what God's design is for community, and have you managed your freedom well? Have you chosen isolation, or have you plugged into being with people and growing your community, and what is that? So, you know, all these fun conversations we're having is really to provoke conversations and thoughts that might be, you know, a struggle and difficult. But I think here, you know, as we are extending our community conversation and believing that you are with us and this mission of whole healthy families are going to save the world, I think that we're hopeful that you are sharing this with maybe those people that look like they're in isolation, and encouraging people to join you on this, preaching the Kylo message, the Kylo 5, which is what we love. We love our Kylo evangelists. So if you're doing that and you want to help us on the show, please go ahead and write a review. If you also aren't part of our email list, please check that out at our website. It's a really great resource to know what we have available to actually give out to people that maybe the Kylo Show is not for them, but maybe the Life Academy is. And you'll find out all the different things that we're doing and that we have available through that email list that we are the newsletter that we have. So check that out. If you haven't, we're going to jump into questions and have some fun from there. All right. We'll see you soon. All right, well, we're going to jump into questions. And if you don't know how to do that, you want to go to thekyloshow.com and you can record your question there or a testimony. We love to have both of them. They help us with the show. So if you hear this and you have a question, please send it in. I mean, we plug it in wherever we can. It's super helpful. And of course, we love hearing good news. So if that's something you would love to share, we'd love to receive it. But today's question comes to us from Courtney.
Hi, guys. I have two questions. We have loved incorporating the Kylo and Loving on Purpose principles in our home in the last few years. But two areas of struggle are, one, what is an appropriate response for hitting for a child in the 0 to 3-year-old range if they are striking you, the parent, particularly? And my second question is, what is an appropriate response for disrespectful talk in the 0 to 6-year-old range? We have 4 children under 6 and have seen the amazing benefits of these principles. But these are two areas that, particularly with my second child, we seem to get stuck on. Thank you, guys.
So hitting and disrespect is what I got at young age kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hitting response, when my kids would do that, it was, that's no fun. I'm going to put you down. I would love to hold you if you're going to be nice to mommy. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much that. I just, you know, they walked around at my legs crying normally. Yeah. And then I'd be like, oh, fun? Or are you going to go in your room? Because that's no fun.
It's a privilege to be up here.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, you got to be committed to this process of fun or room. It's not a, let me say it a few times or do it once or twice and hope that it
sticks.
Yeah, it is. It's
lifestyle.
It really is this commitment that I'm teaching you that, you know, we have a culture of kindness and respect and love and connection. And if you want to throw a fit and be angry and mean and hurtful, you can do that just over here.
Over there.
And it's not, and as soon as you're able to manage yourself, oh, let's reconnect.
Come on back.
Yeah.
That's fun to be with.
And I think that this is where, you know, I have a lot of parents that will, they love the idea. They hear our stories and they go, okay, I'm going to say the words and it's going to work. It really is over and over and over again practice. You know, it becomes part of how you communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think if you don't reinforce the action to the words, you teach them that it means something else. So that's the hard part is if you don't say, you know, say fun or room and then you don't do anything about it, or you sometimes do something about it, then those words, fun or room, really have no clarity or meaning to them, which is where I think that the need for consistency and follow through are so crucial.
In the time that you put between them deciding and you deciding,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of like when parents count to three.
Yeah.
One, two, I mean it. You do not want me to get to, if I get to three, do you know what's going to happen if I get to three? I swear to you, I will get out of this chair. I will get out of this chair and I will come over there. Did you hear me? Okay. Now one, two, do not push me. Here we go. What you're teaching your child is you are afraid of their willfulness.
Yeah. And it's consistency. That's, you want change in your life. It comes through consistency, no matter what it is that you are wanting to change. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I mean, you want weight loss, you want more discipline, you want different outcome. It comes through consistency and follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is the same. So I would encourage you to just be really consistent. I think probably with four kids under six, you're probably really tired.
You get your hands full, man.
That's the part where this gets hard. And so asking for help, creating a plan is going to be what helps you be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And
though this is a lot, not doing it well is more.
Yeah,
you know, so sometimes there's just not a lot you can do to make things easier or better, but there's a bunch of things you could do to make them harder and worse.
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a parent not too long ago that started this, and then, you know, they'd say that's no fun, but they didn't really do anything about it. So I said, basically, you're just taught your kid they have to get to this point before you ever do anything, even though you say it right here. And so these words, hassle time, no fun, they don't really mean anything until you get angry, you know, or you say it the fifth time, then you're going to do something, which is...
They don't believe you till you get out of your chair.
Yeah. Yep. So I would recruit some help. I would create a plan that's going to help you be successful because, you know...
So put the child down as soon as they're, mm-hmm. you know, start getting wailing on you. Just catch a hand and set them down and say, no fun.
Yeah.
And then disrespect, same thing.
Yeah, I disrespect's kind of the same approach is that, oh, hey, that doesn't feel very fun. That feels yucky. I don't appreciate when you talk to me that way. Or I don't appreciate when you're speaking to your brother that way. Hey, I know you're upset about, you know, we're having hot dogs instead of macaroni and cheese. I get that, but I would love to give you lunch as soon as you figure out how you're going to talk to me differently.
And the love and logic, I know, probably so. Mm-hmm. That could be, I don't know, a nice try.
All great.
Get your tattoo.
Yes.
Because that just keeps you from engaging in a disrespectful mm-hmm. exchange while your child just has to kind of air themselves out. Mm-hmm. And then they have a mess to clean up.
Yeah. And great resource, Life Academy, Parenting 101, or Family Coaching would be where I direct you for more tailored help. But I think those are all, it's just, you're going back to the tools. It sounds like you're familiar with them. And it's creating a plan and some consistency. And, you know, feel free to, as soon as, it's one of my favorite ways to put things, I would love to be around you as soon as you're going to be fun. Mm-hmm. So, Courtney, we are praying for you with your 4 kids under 6. You're a champion. You can do it.
You got this, girl.
You do. You have it. You can do it. Just create a plan that you can feel successful in and ask for help. Don't be afraid to do that. So,
great questions.
Awesome. All right. Our next question comes to us from Lillian.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I have a question for you guys. I find myself constantly consumed with making sure that my kids are safe. I know it's one of my responsibilities, but I can feel myself using control and fear to parent. I've been listening to The Kylo Show, and I'm learning to be a powerful person and choose love over fear, but fear seems to be my default. So my question is, how do I shift from fear being my default, and what values should I be instilling in my kids so that they don't choose fear and start the cycle all over again? Thanks so much. Look forward to hearing your answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things out there to be afraid of if you want to, but I don't want to teach my children to be afraid. I want to teach my children to deal with their fear. You know, mm-hmm. like, so mom, you got this far in life dealing with fears. You have a whole toolkit on here's how you face scary things. You know, false evidence appearing real is an acronym for fear. There's a lot of things out there that can hurt you, mm-hmm. but not kill you.
Yeah.
You know, so let's explore, like, just letting your kids playing. You know, mm-hmm. they're outside playing. You say, be careful. Hey, don't go up there. Stop it. Come here. Put that down. You can do that all you want. Or you could just say, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I remember hearing that as a child from you. Why did you say that? Ow! Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch. Oh, that looks like it hurts. Yeah. You want to go do it again? No. Yeah. Why? Because I just learned how to deal with life. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to let your kids explore the edge of the boundary that they could get hurt. They could, you know, they could get
broken bones.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know if I go that far, but, you know.
I'm thinking of Lincoln standing on the edge of the fence. He's like, look, Mom. I'm like, okay, what could you break? A lot, but okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But your kid isn't you. So sure. Let them explore the boundaries of learning about life, learning about lizards, learning about how heavy rocks are, how high trees are. Let them learn, and obviously you don't want to give them a choice. Do you want to live or die?
Sure.
You know, that's not a choice.
No.
But I just keep building in there. Oh, that I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yeah.
And that should mean something to them, because the second time it will. The first time, you know, I do it myself. Mm-hmm. I do whatever I want. But the second time you say, oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you, you are so wise. Mm-hmm. So coach them in that, and then let them push the boundary and discover that, you know what? Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I'm not you. Like, right, you're not me.
You are not as clumsy as I am, or you've got better balance.
Or clearly. You're lucky.
Yeah.
You're lucky that didn't, you know, fall on you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you could slip and hit your head. Mm-hmm. And ask me how I know.
Yeah. I think the fear of, you know, right now, I know the fear of your kid getting COVID, you know, that was going through a lot of moms' heads. Just fear of, you know, the wearing a mask at school, not wearing a mask at school, the fear of, you know, getting someone sick. I think that's been a really loud thing. The fear of, you know, compromise, the fear of, you know, blending in. We just put on display in a way like it's never been before. A lot of fears of, do I conform or not? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. And I think it's easy to get swept up in that on top of, you know, your kids climbing on something, on a tree or not. But it's, you know, a lot of parents that I talk to, you know, whether it's that stuff, climbing on trees or talking to your kids about sex, when they're afraid of something and you try and have a conversation that is unbiased, it's not working. You yeah. are not, the no, filter is still
no
on.
There's object, no objectivity left here. No
yeah.
control.
So I would say be aware that you are not able to bring an unbiased opinion to something. And so if it's something you really want them to look at objectively and for them to make a decision without your fear interfering with it, then maybe the other parent needs to have a conversation. Or maybe that's a really great opportunity for you to go and deal with your fear in this area of what you're going to do so that you can help lead. You know, talking to your kids about sex is one of the biggest, scariest things that the transgender movement that's going on like never before. The siblings, whether it's, I talked with a mom recently about a relative that's said she's now non-binary, and how do I talk to my seven-year-old about that? Because we're going to a family outing, and I don't know what to do, and I've never, and there's all this anxiety she has, and I'm like, wow, you've got to calm down so that you can actually lead. And what is it that you believe to be true? How can you lead your child in the truth that you have as a mother in a Christian faith? Because if you are so rattled by having this conversation, it's not going to go very well. So you've got to figure out what your conviction is and leave the fear on the floor. Otherwise, you're just going to create a bunch of muddled water.
Mm-hmm. And really a whole bunch of trusting the Lord comes in because, yeah. And that's a resource that a lot of the scared people don't have. Because mm-hmm. when the spirit of this world unleashes a spirit of fear on the land and mm-hmm. and just makes finding the truth so difficult and so challenging and so manipulated, mm-hmm. you know, you really do have to up your trust in the Lord with all your heart game.
Yeah.
Because if you lean on your own understanding, you are definitely going to get sucked into the garbage information that is available yeah. again and again. Yeah. So I would really, this is a time to learn to discern the voice of your Father
mm-hmm.
and confront that false evidence that's appearing real.
Yeah.
Or you will get sucked into a whole bunch of talk show host conversations that are just doing it for ratings, and this insanity mm-hmm. is going on. You don't want to turn your family into a talk show.
Yeah.
So you really do need to lead them with connection, with loyalty, with covenant, mm-hmm. and make it through all this false evidence that appears yeah. to be real.
This is why parenting with the Holy Spirit is the best option to
Boom.
Do. So I think that's going to be your greatest weapon with this fear mm-hmm. is to lean on the Holy Spirit as your counselor and guide you in, okay, what am I going to do? Because I'm really scared, but we've got to have this conversation. So,
and throw out, I wouldn't do that if I were you every once
yeah,
in a while.
Totally. Wow, you're really high up there. That's a little scary.
Ooh,
I wouldn't go any higher if I were you, but you know. Let me know how that works out for you. All great statements. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our testimony time. All right. Well, we have a testimony that came in a written form. So we're going to have one of our teammates read it because we always love to share the good news. And this one just came in a different form. So we'll go ahead and listen to it from one of our wonderful teammates. We'll see who it is.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I wanted to share a testimony from the Overcoming Your Overwhelm Challenge that you guys did a few weeks ago. My husband and I were living in separate floors of our house, feeling super hopeless and that we couldn't change anything. By Wednesday night of the challenge, there was some breakthrough, but by Thursday, we were talking and listening to each other without escalation. These are the tools that we've been looking for, and they were explained in a way that we can understand and apply. Thank you all for putting this together for us. Living life together, knowing there is hope, each being a powerful person, making sure we're both doing the Kylo 5 and moving away from our triggered self towards who we want to be. With fresh goals each day, ready to help co-regulate when the other needs it. Man, this is great stuff. So helpful, so practical, so life-giving. Thanks again.
I remember seeing that one. Ben sent it out. I had a text to our whole team. I think it may have been on the actual Life Academy course review is where that may have come from. But super fun.
It is. It's fun to hear people adopt new terms too. You know, mm-hmm. co-regulate, mm-hmm. deregulate, that sort of thing. I'm super happy that people are having such a response to. Yeah. Overcoming overwhelm, both the challenge and the e-course. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been so helpful and so satisfying to get the feedback.
Yeah. It was fun to see on the challenge in our Facebook group, just kind of the community of conversations back and forth, and encouragement or clarification. And it was just fun to see, you know, we had 1,400 people on there mm-hmm. join us for that, which was amazing. And just the engagement level that we had during the 5 days and after, and just what people are wanting to learn and then encouraging each other and sharing testimony. So super fun. And I'm glad that we changed it up a little bit, added Dr. Margaret McGee. She's mm-hmm. a genius. So yeah, if you haven't checked that out, you might want to do that because we keep talking about it because it was so great.
It was so good.
But yeah, well, thanks so much for joining us on the Kylo Show, and we love having you part of our community, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of the Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.